Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us his forgiveness. Our health is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us.
Through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The scripture readings for this, the third Sunday of Easter, the first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and the Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle lesson from the third chapter of 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. Together we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. beloved of God, may the grace, mercy, and peace of our Father in heaven be yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel according to St. Luke brings to our hearing this day the following text for our perpetual gladness and eternal joy. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. If you have ever entertained guests before in your home, then you might be familiar with the great lengths with which a host or hostess might go through to ensure that those who visit them are well provided for. An expecting host may undergo the laborious tasks of cleaning their home, sweeping the floors, wiping down the walls, changing out the washroom linens, stocking up on choice foods and beverages for their company to enjoy, and fretting over how they might ensure their visitors have the most enjoyable stay possible. It is always helpful for a host or hostess to know ahead of time how many guests they may be expecting and from how far they will be traveling to arrive, such that adequate preparations may be made for their stay. It is not always the most helpful thing for a potential host to be caught unaware of their need to accommodate arriving visitors, to be uninformed ahead of time that their soon-to-arrive guests are en route. One rather fictitious example comes to mind of a certain Bilbo Baggins, who was told to have been surprised by a company of dwarves under the leadership of Thorin Oakenshield, who were gathered unto Bilbo Baggins' home, Bag End, in the Shire, under the direction of Gandalf the Grey, for a secret meeting. The tale, told in Jonathan Ronald Reuel Tolkien's The Hobbit, tells of the unpleasantry endured by the hobbit Bilbo as the dwarves merrily ate and drank in his home, singing their merry song, chipped the glasses, cracked the plates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. Blunt the knives and bend the forks, smash the bottles, burn the corks. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates, so carefully, carefully with the plates. All fiction aside, being caught unaware of the arrival of any guest, even so illustrious a guest as divine royalty, might be, and is never a position which anyone would want to find themselves in. The embarrassment, the shock, the discomfort, the unbelief in being so ill-prepared is something which anyone with a heart to serve would dread having to be subjected to. Yet in our gospel reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, that is what came upon a worried, troubled, doubtful group of men, and likely those women in their fellowship also. St. John records in the 20th chapter of the gospel under his name that on the evening of that first day, a day which had begun with a tomb laid empty, a huge, heavy stone rolled away, and the deceased corpse of Jesus, supposed to have been within, nowhere to be found, a day on which the once dead Jesus, now alive forevermore, encountered Mary Magdalene, and then later two of his followers on their way to the village of Emmaus. On the evening of that day, Jesus came to where his disciples were hiding behind locked doors because they were fearful, troubled, and full of doubt, and were certainly not expecting the divine guest who made his appearance in their midst without even so much as a knock on the door to announce his arrival. Being in the rather fearful, doubtful state that they were in all that day, following allegations from Mary Magdalene that she had actually seen the risen Lord, who had spoken to her and told her to bring news to his disciples, they were reportedly ill-prepared to host their arrived guest. Expectant hosts likely do not keep their doors locked if they are expecting company. They likely have something of food and beverage already prepared before their intended guests should arrive. By all accounts given, these men who had traversed the length and breadth of the Levant with their master and teacher, their God and their Lord, as Thomas the twin confessed him to be, were not expecting Jesus to show up. If they had any inclination of his visiting them at all, it was probably an expectation of encountering him in Galilee, as he had reportedly told Mary he would do according to the account given in Matthew. They had the door locked. They were not expecting visitors. Yet Jesus appeared and spoke words which each of us would delight to hear him say. Peace to you. These suddenly enlisted hosts of their divine guest were entirely caught off guard. And suppose they were seeing a spirit and not an actual man. It would be one thing to play host unexpectedly to a band of dwarven refugees, or even a single male visitor whom one knew to be alive and in the flesh, like Gandalf the Grey, or a grandparent who arrives without prior notification of intent to visit. It would prove to be quite the different sort of encounter when one suddenly is made to play host to a man believed to be dead. One might suspect themselves to have gone a bit wonky in the brain for such an encounter to occur. At the very least, these men were disturbed. They were reportedly startled, though the Greek word employed by the evangelist Luke is a bit more informative. They were struck with panic. Anyone whose dwelling place is suddenly imposed upon by someone they presume to be deceased would likely suffer a similar reaction of a panic attack at the onset of such an encounter. Even poor Bilbo, according to the tale told by Tolkien, was badly flustered, bewildered, and bewothered by the sudden arrival of those dwarven guests he had not anticipated hosting. The disciples of Jesus were downright terrified by the sudden arrival of Jesus in their midst. Yet his coming was not entirely unannounced, and his arrival should not have caught them so entirely off guard. He had told them, at least the three recorded times prior to his death on the cross, that he would rise again. They had not believed him. In fact, they were so caught up in their unbelief that they were initially completely dismayed at his arrival. Multiple persons in that gathering had seen Jesus die with their own eyes, had heard his final words, and witnessed him expire upon the cross. They had all known he was dead, and as they had likely, by reason of Sabbath custom, spent the previous day together in the same location, and yet they had not heeded his words, had not taken him seriously, and were ill prepared to host him in their dwelling. Yet he showed them his hands and his feet, still bearing the marks of crucifixion. The gracious, sudden guest offered them the proof positive of his own flesh and bones to touch with their own hands, as if their eyesight and sense of hearing were insufficient for evidence. As their sense of being hosts to the once crucified, now living and eternally reigning Son of God dawned upon them, and even while they were yet in disbelief for the sheer joy of his risen presence among them, and were marveling at him with profound admiration, he, the gracious guest that he is, asked them for something to eat. He was not there to join their dinner party. He was there to offer them irrefutable proof that he was actually alive as he said he would be. The broiled fish that he ate in their midst was no clever parlor trick, no sleight of hand gesture to impress his startled host. They did not grasp the reality of his resurrection. And for such as these men were, and still are, they needed to. You and I needed them to make that connection. We who were otherwise dead in our trespasses and sins, who would have played host only to sin, death, and the devil's dreadful company, needed that piece of broiled fish to be eaten in their presence, for him to open their minds to understand the scriptures, and for him to clothe them with power from on high. Without that proof positive of his being alive, we would have no account written for us to hear and to know that Jesus is alive, that he is risen from the grave, that our sin is paid for, that we are justified before God the Father who were otherwise unjust. We who were otherwise those who only practiced lawlessness needed the lawless to become lawful. We needed him to appear that day that he might take away our sin through the word he would proclaim through his apostles. We needed those unprepared, unexpected, utterly panic-stricken hosts to see their divine guest eat in their presence so that we might eat in his. Without his encountering them in such a way, we likely would not have a place at the table of his heavenly banquet, and would not be made to be the children of God, and would have no hope in him by which to be purified of our ill-preparedness. By the unexpected, sudden visitation of those dwarves on a Bag End, things were set in motion that led to the destruction of the Ring of Power and the freedom of the people from Middle Earth from the terrible power of Sauron. By the unexpected, sudden visit of Jesus unto his disciples that evening, things were set in motion that led to you and me being baptized into the name of our risen, reigning Savior and King, our Lord and our God, who has freed us from the terrible power of Satan. You and I no longer have to be unexpectant of the arrival of our coming Savior. Even as he would grace us with his presence by the word and sacrament ministry, which he deigned to institute amidst those unexpectant men that became his ministers of the gospel, we can live expecting him to arrive, even when we should least expect him, praying even as we sit at table to enjoy the food he has provided us, like even the very fish he provided to his disciples, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let your gifts to us be blessed." Because those blessed apostles were caught so unaware and were stricken with panic, we do not have to be. When death comes to visit us in the dwelling of our bodies, we have the words of Christ speaking truth to our ears, even bidding our anxious hearts to be at peace. We need not worry what we might serve to Christ when he should come to visit us, for he comes not to be served, but to serve, even as he gave his life to ransom ours. He comes this day to serve us, and he is not unprepared nor unexpectant. Rather than singing of chipping glasses, cracking plates, blunting knives, bending forks, smashing bottles, and burning corks, we may sing the praise of him who died upon the tree that we might be his guests eternally. He took our panic away, our unpreparedness, our impurity, and our lawlessness when he gave himself for us to eat and to drink, for us to live with him forever. May the gracious meal of his body and blood given and shed for you ever remind you that in him your every sin is blotted out. And may times of refreshment ever come unto you from the very real presence of our Lord, until the time comes for him to restore all things and make you his eternal guest in the new heavens and the new earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise to sing the offertory.
Jesus Christ, and for all people according to their needs, recalling by name in our prayers today those from our midst unable to attend, naming today Dale and Fran Jenkins and also Julie Ryan. We pray also for those recovering from illness or injury, including Mim Balzer and Stephanie Blaken. For these and others, let us pray. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of our fathers in the faith, since you have glorified your servant Jesus, having raised him from the dead, and since you have made us to be your own children by adoption through Jesus Christ, we ask you to hear now our prayers and grant them according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, whose will it is that repentance unto the forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations, by your Spirit, grant us due repentance for our lawlessness, even our sins of ignorance, and grant to us continued faith in Jesus' atoning work, that times of refreshment may be and continue to be ours. Lord, in your mercy. Father, as your own children, by your Spirit, grant us the will to practice no sin, but forgiven through Jesus, to conduct ourselves in righteousness, and so be fruitful branches of the vine. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, who has taught us that we are indeed your children now, even though we have been encumbered by trials in this world, bless Dale and Fran, Julie and Mim and Stephanie, and all your people who suffer, with the firm conviction that they are your children, and that what they and what we shall be has not yet appeared, but it will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, grant that our civic leaders, including our President Joseph and our Governor Gavin and our mayors and legislators and judges, strive to punish civic evil and to promote civic good, and grant them all necessary to do so. Grant them also wisdom in affairs of state. But if they refuse to govern in accord with your will for civic leaders, then we ask that you replace them with those who will serve according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Father, by the words and the eating and drinking of the Holy Supper, of your Son. Give to us who trust in Jesus forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And strengthen us in faith toward you and in love, fervent love toward others. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, who has been abundantly generous in your kindness toward us, it is good and right that we thank you for all of your benefits to us, and today do we thank you for the gift of anniversaries of baptism or marriage or birth that your people mark in these days. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, do we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.